You're listening to Show Me the Numbers with Yael Kagan, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon on this Wednesday from Los Angeles, very hot Los Angeles. I'm Yael Kagan on my weekly show, Show Me the Numbers, on LA Talk Radio. I'm a hypnotherapist here in the Los Angeles area. I am a neurolinguistic programming master, and I also master in numerology. And this show is sometimes about numerology, but not only. And today, my guest, even though I did see her numbers, I do know exactly who she is and what she is. We're going to explore a different subject, which we've touched in the past few weeks. And I do want to introduce and bring up my guest this week. Her name is Dar Halevi, and hoping she will connect very, very soon. And she is in San Diego right now, even though she is originally, she lives out of the country, but she is practicing in the U.S. as well. So, Dar, are you able to connect so that we can introduce you?
You guys hear me?
Yes, we can't see you, though, and we want to see you, your pretty face.
Interesting. Thank you. I will try to, let's see why it's not showing, because my camera is on.
Okay, and while she's working on it, I do want to say that I've known Dar for a few years now. I've seen her in action when she was still working as an Israeli fellow through the Jewish agency here, through Hillel in UC San Diego. And I think she has a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge on some of the things that are happening those days, and we will discuss that. And I do want her to share that, but I'm also going to discuss with her what she does at the present. She went back to Israel, and she's actually doing something which was fascinating for me. Hopefully she will be able to connect soon. In the meantime, until she will connect, I will throw in different information about, I love to talk about numerology, but I decided not to bring numerology now, but we all know here she is. She's here. Now you can see her beautiful face as well. So I'll jump right into that. So hi, Dar, and welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm really sorry. I don't know what happened. Technology can be very interesting sometimes and unreliable.
No problem.
Thank you for having me, Yael.
Wonderful. And I'm going to throw it right back at you. And I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself, childhood, and up to until where you are right now.
So hi, everyone. My name is Dar Halevi Feldman, like Yael said. I say it because Halevi Feldman represents two identities inside the Jewish community. Halevi actually represents the Sephardic side of my family, so Jews who originate from Judea, but then were sent off to the area of Spain, and my other side of the family descent from Judea, but then went to Eastern Europe, so Ashkenazi, that's the Feldman. I grew up in Israel, in a kibbutz, which is a small socialist community, and I went to school in Ben Gurion University. Around 10 years ago, I came to work in a Jewish summer camp in the U.S., and I fell in love with the Jews of the diaspora. That was the first encounter that I had with that type of Judaism that is not given to you. You have to work for it. And that's how we made it till today. As you said, I was the Israel Fellow at UC San Diego. I have a BA and MA in political science because I always found the idea of international relationship fascinating. And that's where we're at today.
And she did an amazing job from what I've known and so, and I've known you for a few years, and throughout those, I think it was 3 years, right, that you were active in San Diego, in UC San Diego. So let's dive into it, because I had a lot of parents that wrote after they saw my post, and everybody, you know, wants to know what's going on those days and how to feel more comfortable with them sending their kids into colleges in the United States, in different places. And I do want to ask, how would you describe the current experience of being a Jewish student on college campuses today?
Yeah. So I want to start by saying that as someone who worked on campus before October 7th, we were not surprised. Okay. We knew that this was long time coming. We trying to warn everyone about this situation and this indoctrination of students to hate on Jewish students and on Israeli students. So that's not news. And I share the concern that all the parents have, but don't be worried. It's not easy, but it was never easy to be a Jew, right? It's not easy to be a Jew in Israel that has to go and serve in the army at 18. And it's not easy to be a Jew who needs to go to college at 18 in America. But we cannot stop, and we won't stop. We won't leave our the social fears on Jews just because people hate on us. What we will do, and we keep on doing it, is give your kids tools to resilience. And that we are so happy and so grateful to have all the Jewish orgs on campuses. It's not an easy experience. Let's make something very clear. It's not an easy experience to be a Jewish student on campus. A lot of the time, they are being blamed for things that they have nothing to do with. I can tell you about a student that never set foot in Israel. He was just Jewish, and someone refused to shake his hand because they told him he has blood on his hand, even though he never even went to Israel. You know, that's just like one example. That's the reality, but the reality is also that the Jewish organizations are not going to go without a fight. We're not going to let your kids be hurt. We make sure they're going to be heard, and that we will be there to support them and protect them through all of it. I can tell you that in most campuses, they have both Hillel and Chabad to accommodate all the Jewish spheres and types of Judaism. And they basically do an amazing job in protecting the Jewish students and supporting them, and make sure that the staff is in the front lines and not the students. So just make sure your kids know where to go, what are their resources. The resources would not be found through the university. Let's make it very clear. All the options of the university, all the inclusions are not inclusive for Jews. Don't go to those spaces. Go to the Jewish spaces to make sure that you're heard, that you're supported, and then they will give you tools to resilience, and they'll give you tools to be active and to be loud and proud about your Judaism.
Can you offer maybe one or two organizations that are present in all campuses so that parents can, you know, address it with their kids and tell them, if you feel insecure, or even if you just want to connect with others, those are the organizations you need to go to?
Definitely. So for each campus, you have almost each campus, you have a Hillel on campus and Chabad on campus. And a lot of other campuses, you also have another org called Olami, which is a modern Orthodox Jewish organization. And then you have the bigger organizations that are not necessarily located on each campus, but are active on the campus sphere, like Stand With Us and ICC, Israel Coalition on Campus. So if anything happens, you can reach out to them online and they can offer support as well and connecting you with other resources if you don't find anything in your school. So like if it's a very niche school in the middle of nowhere, you can always reach out to them, and you can always reach out to Hillel International as well, and they will help accommodate.
Okay. And I mean, I know that it's always been there. I know that you've been active. I know others that have been very active during their college years. But the question, I mean, we see it's like bigger now. I don't know if it's noisier or it's just bigger. And it's like, can you elaborate on like significant changes and challenges Jewish students have faced on campuses since the event of October 7 that obviously happened in Israel. And yeah. there is like a misdifferentiation maybe, or maybe there is between we are against Israel or we are against all Jews in general.
Is there a distinction? I'm asking. I don't know. That's a great question. I think the question is where it's stemming from. If you're against Israel, where is it? Where is your against come from? Like, what is your reasoning? If your reasoning is just to say, I don't think Jews should have their own land, that's an issue. And by like judging history, you are an anti-Semite. So calling from the river to the sea is an anti-Semitic. As I didn't have to say it, Congress has by both parties agreed on it. So it's not a political issue. It is anti-Semitic. I think a lot of the time people want to have critique about the Israeli government, and that is totally allowed. But they do tend to judge Israel on a different level of judgmental, I guess, than other countries, and that's an issue. I think it's the difference that we saw from last year to this year is, first of all, it was so quick. I think that was the shock for most people who are not in that sphere. On October 8th, so less than 24 hours after, we already started to see protests. Israel didn't even put any soldiers in the ground. They were just trying to protect their own citizens. And we already see protests against Israel and against Zionism. So I think that was a big shock because it was happening before Israel even did anything. I do think it's louder. I do think it's trying to put more pressure on Israel. I think they realize that there's a bit of a breaking point here, and they think they can push it and they will put it on the edge. So definitely louder. The encampments that we saw, it's nothing that we haven't seen it before. We definitely saw Apartheid Week, which was symbolizing, they were trying to pretend that they are doing, you know, the stops, the checkpoints in Israel. They were trying to pretend to do it on campuses, but we never seen students actually occupying in such a violent way the campus, mm-hmm. campuses all over. And it's not just in the U.S. That is something that is very important to understand and remember. It's not just in the U.S. It's not just in North America. It was in Australia. We saw it in South America. We saw it in Europe. And we also need to understand that there was a lot of Qatari money that went into all those institutions. And that is something that is definitely a big cause to why we're seeing the campuses not acting against those protests, and are allowing it to be so loud, so vocal, so big, and for so long.
Right. So it's like what you basically say, the October 7, whatever happened in October 7, there are videos, there are pictures, a lot of them were not even taken by Israel. They were taken by the actual terrorists who were running around with their own phones, putting it on their own social media pages, but they still take it and turn it to the point that there is no proof. Even yesterday we heard it's like running all over the Pink Floyd, good for me, I don't
Roger
remember.
Waters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Saying what? There is no proof. And I wanted to come and say, what kind of proof do you need? Did you need it to be like video, like the actual act? What kind of proof do you need besides what we have right now? But that's, you know, the challenge of those times, how media and how social media can just change every movie, can be shown in two different ways. And something that I was facing with my daughter, who just finished grad school, that she was saying, Mom, a video that you can see, they have a different way of seeing it because somebody else will show it in a different way. do I even get into that conversation? Do I even try to explain it? So my question is, if those parents that are listening, their kids, you know, coming with that same dilemma, what am I supposed to do? Do I ignore it? Do I shelter myself? Or do I sit and talk to them and tell them, not even using the word ignorance, obviously, but telling them you are not getting into, you know, into the truth, into the real.
You're not well informed enough.
Exactly. Like, do you suggest to those students who are in colleges right now, who are hearing, you know, from one side, but then seeing another side, while the other side is blaming everything on AI, saying, oh, you can change every movie in the world now and every picture in the world, which is true, but not when the people who are doing it are the one who are publishing it and putting it out there. What do you suggest to them? To get into that conversation or just leave it, like some, like Joseph Haddad would say, I'm not even tackling those people. I'm tackling those right. that are, you know, right. not sure yet what's going on.
Definitely. So I agree with that theory. It's important to say the one tiny detail that you didn't mention, they were broadcasting everything live. Okay. We didn't have the time to edit their videos. They were live, and you said that they were on their social media. No, they did something worse.
Telegram.
They hacked to the people that they used their people that they murdered, their social media, to announce to their families that they were murdered, seeing it live.
True.
So that was the abusive part. They were taking people's phones and were using the people's social media to show the world live what they were doing to the people. So I think that's important to know, that even if we wanted to edit things, it was all live. And I think that's something that is important to acknowledge. I agree very much with Yosef Haddad's theory. It's not his theory, it's a general, but what you're mentioning, we basically, in this world of public diplomacy, a lot of Israelis call it hasbara. I don't like this word. We have nothing to explain. It's public diplomacy. We have a theory that it's the 20% are Zionists. They will stand with Israel. They know that we have nowhere else to go. They can complain or criticize the Israeli government for some actions, but they know that the idea of the state of Israel is needed. Those are one. Then you have the other 20% that are the other side. They, no matter what you'll say, no matter what you'll show them, they would not change their mind. Some of them because they have family connections to Palestine, to the Palestinian Authority, to Jordan, and some of them because they think it's the right thing to do. And that's what they were taught from a very young age. Then you have the middle. Those are the people that you should talk with. Those are the people that actually make sense, and it's not going to be a waste of your energy. I think important rules to pay attention to, especially for college students, is to make sure you do it in a safe environment. You're not doing it when you're by yourself with a bunch of other people that are riling up against you, because that would be just putting yourself in danger, and we don't need that. But in a safe, calm environment, when you have someone who's your friend and you feel like can talk to about them, I think coming from a different angle would be a better idea. Instead of talking about, but that's what they did, blah, blah, like, that's not helpful. Talk about what you felt. Talk about why it is scary for you as a person, as, for example, your daughter, as an Israeli-American who goes to college here, to med school here, why... What is her experience through all of it? Why was she, how did it affect her from the other side of the world? And if she can share that experience, I believe that people can relate more, because we're looking for similarities, right? We're looking to feel what is close to us. So if you explain to someone who their family is immigrated from somewhere else, because America was built on immigrants, about like how their relative were hurt and that in their country, that can sometimes be more effective than showing them videos and horrifying videos, especially with Gen Z. Gen Z does not go well with showing them horrific pictures and graphics. They just shut down.
Got you. I mean, it's interesting. I definitely agree with everything you are saying. I do want to mention again for those that are listening, and again, parents are worried. I did mention in some of my last shows that maybe it's the time for your kids to know that they should connect more to people like them. Just because it's challenging times, but we don't have to stop what we're doing. We don't have to shelter ourselves or our kids. My son gave me an amazing advice for my daughter, which I love to share, is that it's okay if in the next few years we will not be that popular. It's okay. And because you are not as popular, you don't have to just go with the crowd. You have to understand what you do, continue supporting your people, and just stay who you are. At the end, people appreciate people who stays with their own, with their belief, with their own truth, and not just go with the crowd. So I know it's sometimes, you know, it's not as fun as maybe it was before. And you know what the reality is, that every time something like that happens, the day after, no one remembers it and people go back to what they do. Yes, this is a longer war. It takes time. But you know what? We've waited over 70 years. We've been attacked from everywhere, and we need to find hopefully a solution. And let's not forget that it's not even our decision. We have 120, I think, people still captured there in terrible, terrible, you know, it's like I don't even want to think what's going on there. Every time we release someone or they come out, we hear terrible stories. So until we release them, we cannot sit quiet, unfortunately. And like Dar was saying, I would suggest that you will teach your kids, even if they didn't have the need for that until now, to go find a Hillel who's right in every colleges, I think all over the world even. Definitely, yep. Chabad, even if you think that Chabad is just Orthodox and your kids were not connected, no, they are not. They accept,
very different.
Exactly. They accept everyone. I was in many of those events, even a Shabbat dinner. They will hug you. They will love you. They will give you a home. You want to feel protected. You want to be, and even the fraternities and sorority, me as an Israeli parent, I was very much against when my daughter told me, when my son told me he's joining a frat, but there is the AEPI, which is the Jewish frat. I have to say, not only that my son until this day, those are his buddies, his brothers, his best friends. That's a support group. That's where you want to be. And I'm not sure if there is still a Jewish sorority, and if there is.
Yeah, AEPI.
Okay. And I know it doesn't exist in every college.
No, Greek life doesn't exist in every college, and AEPI and AEPI don't exist in every college. But if you do have Greek life, most likely you will have some sort of Jewish sorority or fraternity. And I recommend check it out. It's super important. And I agree with you, Yael. It's more than we can. We shouldn't stop our life. We cannot stop our life. If we stop our lives, they win.
Right.
Simple as that. If Jews are out of American universities and you'll start sending your kids to colleges in Israel, to universities in Israel that are offering great, right, they're offering a great solution for the time being, but we would not be able to leave as Jews in America.
Right.
And so for all, that's important.
And for all parents, I mean, you are sending your kids to colleges and great colleges in the U.S. because you want them to be leaders. So this is a great, great experience and example for them, how to choose to become a leader and not a follower. So it's up to us, the parents. And I do want to say, and hopefully we leave it at that, that when my daughter was in grad school, I somehow got the connection to either dean or the one below that, and they do speak to the parents in cases like that. So if there is something severe, there are also a lot of groups everywhere, and we're not trying to hurt anybody. We are only trying to support our kids. They need to feel safe, and they are just there to study and get their education, and there's no reason to stop from doing that. But I'm going to jump now into what you are doing today, if you can tell us, you know, a little bit about that.
Yeah, totally. So you kind of started with it, saying about all the misinformation and people are denying everything that happened, especially on campuses. So when we saw it, again, I was not surprised, but I felt like I have to do something. And my friend gave me a call and told me, listen, someone that we both know is coming to, she was at the Nova party, and she escaped and she's coming to speak with Congress. Do you think that we can get her to some communities to speak? I know that that's your jam. Yeah, perfect. And I reached out to some Hillels, some Israel fellows in 30 campuses, in 60 campuses, and 30 of them wrote back saying, like, please, right now, we need you ASAP. Since then, we've been, since October 27th, we brought 15 survivors from both Nova and the kibbutzim.
Explain about the Nova for those who are not sure what exactly it is.
Definitely. So on October 7th, when the terrorists attacked Israel and infiltrated Israel, they were going to go for army bases, then for the kibbutzim, which is the socialist villages. But they actually found out that there's a big music festival. It was called the Nova Peace Music Festival. That was held right there, right next to the border. Most likely, from what we know today, they did not know about that in advance. They got lucky, and they basically killed over 400 people who attended that music festival trying to escape. And I'm sorry if I'm triggering anyone, but there were multiple reports of people. It's not just women. People were raped and were slaughtered and were set on fire, and just horrific, horrific stories. And the differences between the kibbutzim, so the villages, and the party is that the party was out in the fields, so they had to escape through the fields, while the people in the kibbutzim, in the villages, it was in their houses. I'm not sure which one is worse, honestly. It's just all in all an awful experience for all of them. And the stories that I've been hearing are just insane. Definitely remind a lot of similarities to the stories from the Holocaust that we've known. And since then, we've been bringing survivors to share their testimony firsthand. Face-to-face experience, so people won't be able to say, like Roger Waters said yesterday, that did not happen. You know, look to someone who experienced that in the eyes after they
tell him
the entire story and tell it to them. We did have that. I will say there are some crazy people here, and we did had a few times protest against survivors just sharing their stories. And the all in all, we've visited over 85 campuses and 250 communities in North America. And most responses has been great. I think that to give you some hope, the situation is not as bad as it seems. The anti-Israel mob is just very vocal, and the media tends to show it. And I'm not saying things are not bad. Things are bad. But the majority are just being silent, but they're not against us. We do need to wake them up. We do need to try and make them speak for us, and because we do speak for everyone else. But the majority does not hate us. I can share an example that actually here at UC San Diego, outside the encampment, we talked to some students. Some students came to some of the Jewish students and talked to them, interviewed them. And by the end of the interview, they came to them and whispered, and they're like, just so you know, we're on your side. Mm-hmm. So even if they're not being loud about it and we feel like we don't have any allies, I feel like we need to understand that in those events, we do get non-Jews to come, and they do come and support and show that they are allies. And we visited, I think, 15 mega churches, and we've got so much love from those churches. Campuses are the most I would say, intense experiences for our survivors, but we've been accommodating for them. We have a liaison that travels with them. The liaison speaks American and Israeli, which is different than Hebrew and English. And can kind of help with the social aspects of everything. And we basically just travel. We visited 27 states by now inside the U.S. And very grateful that that's what I get to do these days. Make sure everyone
it's amazing.
Knows the truth.
It's amazing that you do it. I mean, you could have chosen to do so many, you know, other things since you finish your work here at the campus. You could, you know, do whatever you want to do. I've known you. You are a leader. You are a person that you are a donor. When you want to do something, you do it. You know how to do that. But my question is, when you bring those to colleges, how does it work? Like, do they invite you? Do you initiate that? And also, how can those students in the campus, how will they get notified so that they know to be there?
So we're, most of the time, we've been working with the Jewish community that are on the campuses, like we said, the Hillel and Chabad, which they have sort of agreements with the school so they can rent rooms and they can use different platforms. And then the Jewish students are promoting it. Whether it's on social media, they put up flyers, they do different things to make sure. We also ask them to bring their non-Jewish friends to each one of their those conversations. In some cases, we did speak through professors. But basically, it's an event on campus. It's very common on American campuses that they have clubs. And the clubs are throwing events. So that's very common and just another practice that we kind of catch on everyone else is doing. And it's very similar to what we do.
So it's also another good reason why they should connect through those organizations or other friends like them, because someone may always know something that you don't. And that's how you will get into those events, which is a place to feel more comfortable, more safe, more loved. Because again, we may not be popular now, but we want to find the places where we will feel more popular and loved and been accepted.
Totally. I think it's super important to know that it's for any Israeli parent who is listening and did not attend an American college, students have to participate in clubs and stuff. It's very important for their resumes, and that's how they get a job in the end. So if you can accommodate that for them and help them feel more comfortable in those spaces, it's definitely through the Jewish organization. So they have to attend some sort of club anyways, and it's just giving them an opportunity to do it in a space that is comfortable, hugging, supporting. And a lot of those organizations, they offer even some sort of like workshops, you know. I will say Yael-san is also very active in this field as well. And for my students, I brought him to speak to them about how to tackle this on social media. We do different workshops. When I was active on campus, that's what I mean with my students. So we do have those workshops available for the students to make sure that they are supported and have all the tools. And I know we're not popular right now, but also I want to like remind us, guys, Jews has been in way worse situations. Let's just put this in proportions. Yes, it's not an easy time to be a Jew, but considering our ancestors, we are so lucky. Let's just like remind ourselves that we still have a country that is not going anywhere to protect us. We're not going anywhere. And even if it's a bit uncomfortable right now, that too shall pass. And we've been through worse.
100%. And I'm the first one to be on your side in saying that, because my dad was a Holocaust survivor. And one of the biggest questions I kept asking him through the years, why didn't you do anything? Why didn't you come against them? They didn't even feel that it was possible to do. Also, they were like hungry and tired and weak and everything together. But my message to those parents who are listening either live or later on is that that's what you need to to address with your kids. Not to show them the fear, not to show them, if you are afraid, if you are worried, your kids will be as well. You need to support them. You need to show them. They need to understand what they need to do and all those activities going on. And I know firsthand that they are happening because I'm also active now through different, whether it's protests or other events. If they are not going to be part, to take part, to be active, there is a fight flight. I always say that. Don't let them run away from the situation. Let them fight it. They shouldn't be afraid. It's not that everything, you know, goes to like violence or whatever, but they need to be active. They need to take part. They need to feel like they belong, because otherwise all of us has nothing to do here in the US, and we 100% refuse to agree to that. And jumping into like a next, you know, I don't know if it's a question because you discussed it already, but I was like in love when I saw the Christian movements that are coming and supporting and even initiating protests with us, hugging us, praying with us, explaining, like priests actually explain to their people why you need to support the Jews, why you need to support the Israelis. And it's important because in colleges, you find them as well, and they are very active. They are very active. So urge your kids to do it, and I believe you see it also in campuses, how the Christian community accept and hug, and despite everything, they are taking our side.
Yeah. They're not vocal about it as much as the older people are, for sure. But yes, it happens. They have a fellowship, the Christians for Israel fellowship, which also it's on campuses. We see it. And I think another shout out to another ally has been the Persian community.
Yes.
And we really think and appreciate it. I think what the Persian community is basically saying is, guys, to what we're saying and what the Jews are saying, because we already seen it unfold. And this is not a story that we want to live through. And I think when we're talking about Jews not being able to live in America, it's not the America that none of you guys want to live in. It's not an America that you guys know today. It's not just about the Jews or the Israelis. There's a theory that's explained that the Jews are basically the canary in the mime coal. If the Jews can survive and live and thrive in that environment, that means the environment is not toxic. When a minority who is successful starts to be chased, that's when your society has become so toxic that it's not about the Jews anymore. Because the Nazis did not stop at the Jews. That was not the case. It was the LGBTQ, which we know similarities from the pro-Hamas movement. It was everyone who was disabled to some amount, whether it was mentally or physically. It was the gypsies. It was different skin color. Like, it does not end with the Jews. Stuff that starts with the Jews does not end there. And that should be a warning to every single American.
And you're jumping into my next question because we believe, and I think you will agree with me, that the, you know, Americans who are not Jews should look at it as a red flag, because it's very popular to attack the Jews now. It's very popular to be against Israel right now and in the past, whatever, 20 years or even more. But we are basically saying, no, this is a red flag. You do not understand that you are next.
Totally. So we say that they came for the Shabbat, the Saturday first, but Sunday is the next move. I totally agree. I think it's, you need to understand. Maya Angelou said that you need to understand, you need to listen to what people are saying. They're telling you the truth. So if you actually start reading what those people have to say and what their plans are for America, you guys will be frightened. It's not about me and what I have to say. Please don't listen to my words. my words don't count. Go and look up the Hamas charter, the Hezbollah charter, the Iran ideology. Look it up. Look at what they're telling you that their goals are, and then make your own conclusion. It's not about the Jews. It's about the world. And I think it's very important to also acknowledge the collapse of civilizations that we're definitely seeing unfolding in front of our eyes. And the Jews are on the side of America and the Western civilization. Israel is part of the Western civilization. And that's our issue, by the way. Israel is a Western civilization in the middle of an Eastern culture. That's a different topic. But these are all very important topics to understand, that we're seeing something that unfolds that is bigger than the Jews. Anti-Semitism does not end with the Jews. America needs to wake up.
100%. And in saying that, and with the time that we have, I do want to ask you, first of all, the company or the organization that you work with right now, I believe it's a nonprofit organization.
Yeah, so it's the nonprofit that I created. It's called Faces of October 7th. I created it with Yarden Dor, who is now a board member, and I'm working with Shoshana Rice. We've been actively doing it. You can find us on Faces of Oct and the number 7.com. That's our website. We'd love to come to visit you wherever you're at.
Yeah, share with us, you know, we don't have too much time, but like, what are the goals, talking about you, for future in terms of supporting Jewish students and, you know, making them feel safer? What kind of goals do you have? What is the next, you know, move? What are you doing? How, we'll get into that later. How can parents or the student themselves get in touch with you?
Yeah. So we're working on a few different projects, basically redoing what our counterparts, I would say, or our enemies did. I don't want to reveal too much, but we are working on a few different projects, including faculty for IHRA, which is the definition of anti-Semitism in all campuses. So if there's any professor or faculty members that listen and want to be involved as well, I will say how to contact us soon. But yes, we are working on different things. You need to understand it's not just the students. It's mostly not the students that are, it's professors who were indoctrinated to have a specific point of view on the, and I'm quoting, Palestinian struggle. And that basically causes them to say things that are definitely not true in classes. And I think that's something that we should be tackling. We need to understand the faculty. We need to work with the faculty, because the students change every 4 years. The faculty stays. That's where we have issues with. So we are working on different programs to figure out this, and how we can change that. So our future kids, my future kids, I don't have any yet, but my future kids will end up going to college. They won't have to deal with that. So we're working on a short-term plan and a long-term plan. Yeah.
Perfect. And how can people get in touch with you, whether it's the students, again, even the parents? I think parents should be
definitely
active now. And I know that our kids will always say, do not get involved. It's not going to look right. I'm not going to tell you. No, urge
them
to tell. No, but I would urge my kids to tell me.
No, I wouldn't. I honestly wouldn't, because I feel like it can be kind of like nagging. But there is an organization called Mothers Against Campus Antisemitism that I think parents, it's called Mothers, but I think it's parents from all genders can be participating. So I highly recommend that. That's a great way to get involved. You get the news there. Signing up for the Hillel newsletter will give you the news that you want to know about campus without bothering your kids.
So parents can sign up for it as well?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. Go to the website of your local Hillel, your local Chabad, sign up to the newsletter, get updates. Speak with them. If you need to, Yael mentioned that you can speak with university, with officials in the university. But parents can also speak to officials in all the Jewish organizations. They would love to talk to you. They would love to give you info and to whatever you need, really, just reach out. They're always there to talk. And I think it's a big part of it, how to get involved without bothering your kids. But if you want to reach out to us, we are Faces of October 7th. We're on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and we have the website that I said. And if you want to reach me personally, you can look me up on LinkedIn, on Instagram, Dar Halevi Feldman, on Facebook. I'm on all of them. Feel free to reach out, and I'll do my very best to help you with every concern you have.
And I assume even if it's not for campuses, if it's for communities, everywhere.
Definitely. Everywhere. Reach out. If you want to bring a survivor, reach out. If you're struggling with anti-Semitism, reach out. I'm here for you.
Okay. And I know that I've discussed in the past that a lot of those activities and organizations are more active in the undergrad schools, less in the grad school. That's what I saw also with my daughter. Are you still opening your doors if those students that are hearing us, do you have any?
Guys, my doors are always open for everyone. I think also like with the orgs that are active on campuses, they don't tend to exclude the grads. And if you would come and say, hey, can we have a grads event? They would love to do it as well. So just speak up. I can tell you that when my grad students came at UC San Diego and said, hey, can we have a group for just grads? We start having like events every other week for them, just for grad students. So speak up. And yes, you're all more than welcome.
Okay, great. And let's like finish with like something very optimistic for those parents and even for us. What can you give them? What kind of message? You've worked for like 3 years, I think it was, inside campuses with those students. You saw, you know, those that were against, even if it was, you know, to this degree or another. What is the big message you can send now to those parents or students that are listening so that we can show, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel?
I always used to laugh and say that they can do whatever they want on campus, but in the end, we have a country. So, A, remember that. I think I said it, that too shall pass. We've been through worse as Jews, and the silent majority is for us. They're not against us. I know it's really scary, but to pick up those conversations, but I tend to do it in Ubers and whatever, you know, just like, the fact that I know everyone's opinion about Israel and about Jews, but most of them are not against us. They don't know a lot of it, but they're not against us. So just keep your optimism, keep being brave. We need you to fight the good fight here. We do acknowledge it's a fight. I think you are seen. It is a fight, and we are with you, and we will support you, and you're not alone in it. And we will win this too, right? We have no other choice.
100%. And we didn't mention, and I do want to mention, for all those parents, even if you are Israeli or a very connected Jew, birthright trips to Israel. I even had people here as guests on my show that said, I was raised Jewish, I was raised in a Jewish home, but my biggest connection to Judaism and to Israel and to my country, to my people, was birthright trip. So even if your child has been to Israel, don't think he doesn't need it because he goes every year with the family. It's a different experience. I've seen it with my kids. I've seen it with others. And I'm seeing it every day. Even my guest, Lauren, last week was mentioning that once she did a birthright trip, that's where the connection, that's where you find the roots. You are like a tree that lost the roots and you suddenly find your roots. So as parents, don't be afraid. By the way, even now during the war, groups are still going to Israel. So go see with your own eyes, meet the people, smell the country, experience the country. Don't be afraid. Again, as a therapist, I will always say, if you show fear to your kids, they will be scared. If you show anxiety towards those issues, your kids will have anxiety. Don't pass it to them. There's no need. I always say, be the leader. Teach your kids to be the leaders. Teach them how to fight. And I'm not meaning fight by fighting, but being present and being among your people. Just do it. Most of the people are very good people, I have to say. It's that minority, and it's a real minority, which is very, very loud. And that's why we're having that conversation. And I do want to thank you, Dar. I mean, you know that I adore you and love you. But I think you even brought something more than that. I adore you for doing what you're doing now with the October 7 survivors and you know, bringing them, giving them also a home and giving them hope and allowing other people to hear them. So I do want to, you know, tell you that I absolutely adore you for that. I know you could choose different things. And again, you mentioned how to get in touch with you. You can get in touch with Dar if you want to repeat it right before we have 2 seconds.
Faces of October 7th on every social media, or Faces of Oct and the number 7.com is our website. Yael, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, my love. And thank you, everyone, for being here or listening to the show later on. You can send us questions. And thank you for supporting us.
You're listening to Show Me the Numbers with Yael Kagan, only on LA Talk Radio.